Everyone, thank you for being here. Kennedy, we're in the midst of roll call, and Anthony just called your name.
Can you say aye, Kennedy?
I think you are. Oh, the volume is low.
Aye. Sorry. Aye.
Yes, thank you, Kennedy. We appreciate you bearing with us as we work through our technology.
It's a new phone.
Yes. Betsy Hamilton.
Aye.
Okay. And I know Herb Smith and Mason Williams are not here.
Herb is here.
Oh, he is?
Yes.
Oh, Herb. Herb Sims.
Aye. I'm here.
Aye.
Janina just arrived.
Thank you. And Janina Ramirez.
Aye.
Okay. And Anthony Juweed, aye. I think that has accomplished our roll call. Not usually that difficult, but we made it through. Okay. With that,
approve the agenda.
Yep.
Oh, call the meeting.
Please. Yeah, we'll call the meeting to order, and we will, if I can get a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Agenda.
Denise, yes, and I heard Kennedy as well, yes?
Yes. Second.
Okay. Thank you. Denise?
Aye.
Betsy?
Aye.
Zena?
Aye.
Madhu?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
Herb, you're muted.
Aye. Sorry about that. I'm on my phone. I'm trying to tweak over to the computer right now.
No worries.
Thank you, Herb.
Janina.
Aye.
And Anthony, aye. Approved. The agenda has been approved. With that, I'll turn it over to Farnaz for our opener.
Thank you. So there's a lot of new people here, and my hope is that we're all going to intermix with each other. So we're going to get up and walk around until you find someone new that you haven't spoken to. You're going to introduce yourself. You're going to talk about your years of connection with ECS and what you love about it and something you want to share about yourself. We'll do that twice, so you'll get to do that with two separate people. Any questions?
Can you say it one more time?
So introduce yourself, say your name, your role, years at ECS, why you love it here, and then something you want to share about yourself. And we'll get a couple minutes with each person. Good? Zoom people, I'm sorry. We're going to we're going to turn down our volume here so you guys can chat with each other without being heard. But you'll be recorded still, so.
How many years have you been here, and what do you love and worry about?
Okay.
Some people it's not the right thing. I don't know. I like,
simplify it as best you can. 5.5
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. So I was 11 years old.
How do you like it?
Love it. Yeah, it was like for me in my community of therapy, you know, in my own version. I didn't know about real therapy, but you know, it definitely was a way for me to try and make sure that I'm part of the community. And yeah, I still continue. I kind of started branching out into the new age care. Yeah, I hope it's not showing on me too much.
It's showing on me.
Yeah. So, 100%. You start early tonight. Like 7:38.
I'm after work. That's a dream.
Oh my god. I mean, I could do like a workshop for now.
Yeah, it's fun. As fun as it could be, right?
But for sure. But of course, history informs that. I'm a big fan of that. Well, you know, you know Harari?
No, I don't.
Oh, he's an Israeli professor of history.
Ah,
he's some big, So I've been following that, and that's kind of my legacy. But then a lot of his
I feel like because I got this shot 2 weeks before that, I feel like I just lucked out with the miles.
And then
it was Friday when I got it. I'm pretty sure I got it like on Thursday. So this would be like awesome.
No, it's like I wish I could go by the but
I get it.
But I have to go by the testing that we can do.
I get it. So it was like Friday was bad, Saturday was bad, Sunday was better, and then Monday was bad. Yeah, Tuesday was like, okay, like, I want to go somewhere else. Yeah, pretty good. It was pretty good. Turn around. It's a quick turnaround. The brain fog is still kind of here, but it could just be because I'm not getting up. It's a mix of both. But I feel now that a week has fully passed and I'm physically there, back into the routine, I feel like I never even had it.
I'm noticing our numbers sharpening again.
Good. Yeah, there was a big spike.
There was a huge spike. It's all just
Yeah.
You can come back to school.
And no one's wearing masks anymore, so everything's going, right? Hopefully everybody was, but then I know I'm sure some kids like love and you know, kids, right? Me included. People are back in the class, so that's all that matters. Yes, but I know that they're mindful of it because they say, oh, can I go to the tissue?
Get a mask, go to the bathroom tissue. Like, they're washing their hands. They're like, making a mask? And I'm like, okay. So they're mindful at the very least, right? So that's a little bit better. No, but Cam is the one planning all. You know, Cam's planning that whole thing. I know. He's a wonderful teacher. I think so.
But I'm also that nerd. I have asked to get a master's.
Yes. Just for fun. Why not? I'm actually funny. My class is just starting today.
I'm getting my second one in history.
Yeah. He's a nerd. That's why we're all in
it. I'm a board member, I
think. Really? How was that?
Congrats. Yeah.
What's our subgroup? And it's just like, your way into the
Yeah, yeah. And the USC is just one. Oh, he's right here. Wait, there's some colors. That's huge. Congrats. One more year. Oh, they're going to get there. I can only imagine as a parent, but they're getting to where they need to be. That's exciting. I have 2 years, but I've been teaching for about 4. Last year was my first official year.
I just got to know Cam really well, so I just ended up being mixed into like everything.
I like it. I attended LAUSD.
I was in Hamilton High School. Yeah, I like Hamilton. It was also a nice place, but ended up moving down to Redondo,
so it just makes more sense to find something better.
Yeah, do you live in Redondo?
Now?
I am living there. I'm actually like
10 minutes down that way.
Like by the Artesian?
Yeah, so just right by there. Exactly.
Because we're second.
Yeah, I love this area. I didn't realize that the South Bay was this nice until I got here. Yeah, have you lived around here so long? Yeah.
We were in Hancock Park for sure.
How was that?
It was great, but
I'm from
LA.
Got it. You already know the area. Got it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a way to.
That's what I'm realizing. I know Cam like raved about it a lot because he grew up here. And, you know, I think someone who's not from LA coming into here, Bay Area. So, Oakland, if you know that area, and coming here, I'm like, oh, I see the.
And the weather's nice.
We have had really nice weather, not so much.
This is not good weather?
Great weather, but it's been like 3 hours of this.
That's
what happens more summer?
I think it's because, oh wait, you like hot weather? Okay, I'm the opposite, so that's why this is good weather. That's why this is good to me.
I love it. We have snowstorms. And typically we have these like late summer days.
October area,
around the storm, just the road.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah.
You like the heat though?
I do.
Yeah.
Is your family still in the area?
They are. I don't feel like you like fashion. I remember I seeing you with that sweater. I love it.
Every time I see him, I'm like,
gosh, that's amazing. I would so buy my fashion.
I'm with you. I'm on the same boat. I'm trying to do that.
Okay, well, good luck. Oh, you ruined it.
I don't know. I think we're still on. Are we still on?
That breaks it.
Yeah, that took 10 minutes to set up. No, we have to. No, I'm just kidding. I just did it.
It's sturdy.
Yeah, it's new. Hey, Dave.
Okay. Let's to do a sound check, make sure we're good.
Yes, can everyone hear us online?
Yes, she did a thumbs up.
Okay.
Yes,
so hopefully that was enjoyable for those who were not online. And you got to spend some time and meet people and get to know people a little bit better. So thank you, Pranaz. So with that, as we always do, we want to make sure if there are any presentations from the floor on non-agenda items that we open it up.
And we have those.
Yes.
So we have to call them.
Correct, which is my next step.
Awesome.
So if there are no presentations from the floor on non-agenda items, we move to presentations from the floor on agenda items. And so we have a few speakers who we'd like to introduce. And as a reminder, we each have a maximum of 5 minutes. So I will start with Cameron Lopez. If you'd like to present, you're welcome to.
You can stand right here.
I won't drop the wire this time.
Hi, everyone. My name is Cameron Lopez, and with me today I have Fabian, Environmental Science at Phoenix Green at Inglewood, Jeff Tulsi, GA teacher at Lawndale, and I have Marco Landon, U.S. History teacher at UCS Pasadena. We present Environmental Charter Educators United, the union representing the 120-plus staff at UCS at our full site, and those included at home office. We present the union last year because we believe the potential of UCS educators and our students.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cameron.
I think we have Marco Landon who would like to speak as well.
So tonight we're just sharing our Sunshine proposal that shares with you and the board and the public the general topics that we plan to bargain in our initial contract negotiations. We've engaged in a very thorough process of input from our colleagues throughout these last few months. And we're excited about the next step in this negotiation process. We believe that this process and our eventual union contract will help us all make ECS the best possible place to learn and teach. I know I very much enjoy being here, and I can't wait to make sure that it's going to be sustainable for everyone.
Thank you, Marco.
Thank you, Marco.
Fabian.
Jeremiah.
Can you pronounce your last name?
Ponciano.
Ponciano.
Yes.
You did it way better than me.
Okay.
Educators at ECS believe that our students deserve the best. As such, we believe our students deserve investing in and retaining great teachers, investing in safe and supportive environment for all, and investing in shared decision-making, among other things. When we invest in and retain great teachers through a fair and competitive salary, comprehensive health benefits, and sustainable workload, our students win. By investing in a safe, supportive environment for all students, all of our students, including those special needs and anxious learners, grow and thrive. Finally, when we invest in a shared decision making, all stakeholders, when educators are involved and communicated with those, that our students succeed.
Thank you, Vivian. Tulsi Patel.
Close out talking about Environmental Educators United. And I just want to name that we recognize that the board and admin, we want to recognize the board and the admin for their collaboration in the process so far, including that longevity bonus at the beginning of the year. And we just look forward to beginning bargaining in good faith. Thank you for having us.
Thank you
for being here.
Appreciate you. Any other presentations from the floor on agenda item? Okay. Then we'll move to discussion items and updates.
Oh, okay. Thank you for being here. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Papers are great and planning to do.
Have a good one, of course. Yeah, feel free to take food to go. No? Sure?
Hi, everyone.
Take care. Be safe.
Bye.
Okay, I think the ECS, the campus.
It's a Lawndale College presentation. So for them to see it, do you need me to share the presentation? And oh God.
Yes.
Perfect. Is it
okay
that
I'm on mute here?
Yeah.
Oh,
here it is. It's a really strong. Yeah.
thank you so much for having me and for letting me present on the things that we're most proud of. This is really where we get to see the results of our work and our efforts that really do evolve over the years. I love that we can ground ourselves in the mission every single time, and I feel that that's pretty significant because if I need something and it's student-centered, I know that I'm going to get the support that I need, which I also know is not going to be in a lot of environments, so I'm really grateful for that. And I also just want to highlight that in the mission statement, it says student thinkers who are equipped to graduate from college, not just attend college. Because that's a piece that is often missing, right? We have high enrollment numbers and then low graduation numbers, and it's really important to see it all the way through because the initial effort, we want them to have all the things that they've earned, and there are all kinds of barriers. So our goal is to eliminate those barriers. These are the folks who specifically last year were part of this team, myself, Jessica Ceballos, Michelle Quinto, and then last year, Michelle Quinto was the department chair. This year, she's the senior seminar teacher, and it's really awesome because I've been working with her in the college prep department for about 4 years now, and this is probably one of the strongest college prep departments that we've had since I've, you know, been part of the team, and we work really well together, so it makes a really big difference when you trust your team that we all have the same goals in mind and and just be forward thinking together. So some numbers for you all are on the screen, just compared. These are our trends over the past years as far as students who are attending two-year schools, attending four-year schools, or taking an alternative pathway. You may notice there is a decline from class of 22 to class of 23 as far as students who are attending four-year schools. We don't necessarily see that as a deficit, as the trends climb and fall pretty often. We also, this doesn't capture the schools that the students are attending. So while we may have had more 4 years in the past, we have different 4 years now. So I'll get into that in a few moments. We keep all kinds of trackers throughout the year to make sure that we're up to date on everything and attending to the students that would otherwise kind of go unnoticed if we didn't. So we have 37 University of California commitments this year. We typically have the most go to Riverside, so this is not new. This is the first time we've had San Diego in a close second, and they're a very competitive school, and so that's been a significant, you know, for us that students have not only been accepted but been given the financial aid that they need so that they can live there and have the college experience without putting themselves in a situation for debt later on. So again, while the commitment numbers may have been lower, the specific schools are important to consider as well. We've consistently had three students over the past 3 years attend Berkeley each year. Really exciting, especially for we have 51 attending Cal State universities this year. So as usual, Dominguez Hills accepts our students in high numbers because we're in their community. They give our students a lot of financial aid. They make it possible for our students that have family obligations, students that don't have the ability to have a traditional college experience, be able to attend college, and then also have some extra money for cost of living. There are, again, barriers that come up for the students. They're just so numerous. So we had a low number of private school commitments. We removed the requirement to apply to private schools a few years ago because we were not being intentional about it, and we were spending a lot of time looking for schools with low acceptance rates so that they could reach that requirement as opposed to finding schools that really fit the individual student. And we've found that the shift has really improved the overall program because it gives us time to do really student-specific initiatives. We always have a handful attending community college. This is a pretty wide variety of community colleges. We have two students attending LA Trade Tech, which is a brand new campus we visited last year. One of them is going into barbering, and he was able to, you know, have his little after-school barbering on campus. So we were able to take you know, students who are not traditionally motivated academically, especially their senior year when they just want to get out of high school. And we were able to say, hey, it's still college, but it's exactly what you're trying to do. And they were able to get some scholarships. So as I mentioned before, we keep track of our data pretty detailed, and we partnered with CARPE College Access Network. We have been part of their network for, I think, 5 years. They lost their grant, so last year was the last year that we were able to partner with them. They gave us the space, the resources, and the coaching that we needed to focus on an equity group and follow through with the equity group that we were focusing on. And so we wanted to highlight that we had 11 seniors in the class of 2023 who identify as Black or African American. Out of the 11, 7 are attending four-year universities this fall, 3 are attending community college, and 1 is going to film school. And many of them were able to get scholarships and various help elsewhere. Also plan to continue the work that we've been doing with CARPE on our own, and by having Michelle Quinto in the classroom, and we are going to conferences and things like that about days, so that we can really intentionally plan at the CARPE conferences. So we plan to be very intentional and keep that going even without the outside help. So to share a little bit about how we relentlessly advocate for our students, I'd like to share just one example. So this is Carly Cheatham. She's one of our scholars who graduated in 2023. She was accepted to UC Riverside. Her mom had already started getting her scholarships like early in the year. They were very involved. She got accepted. She went to orientation. She paid her housing deposit. And then she received an email telling her that her admissions was rescinded. And I can only imagine what that was like for her. And it was due to a very minor clerical error. She had made a mistake on her application, which they require the students to self-report. So they're bound to make a mistake. And I imagine that if this happened to other students who don't have the resources to kind of figure it out, that they would just be at a loss. Lose out the money, lose out the experience, and that's also a really significant, like, blow that, you know, everything that they've worked for. So she emailed, her mom emailed Lucy and I, and right away we jumped into action. We started sending emails, we started making phone calls, because this student was very deserving, and the issue was not an issue that was her fault. It wasn't intentional, wasn't trying to be deceptive, but because of the discrepancy, they were able to list that as a reason. Got it back. So, yeah, we didn't know. We jumped into action. We knew what we were going to do. We didn't know how it was going to turn out because we have very little control over such large university systems, and they can really kind of do what they want without explaining it as well. So, but we got it back for her, and she was very appreciative. Obviously, her mom was very appreciative. It was kind of like an all-hands-on-deck situation, and so we felt very fortunate to be able to help her in that case. And remove that obstacle that shouldn't have been there in the first place, and kind of decrease the, I don't know, trauma, or, you know, what happens when you feel that kind of disappointment. And the system is designed this way, to weed out certain students, and that's our goal, is to eliminate those barriers for our students. The two recipients of the vocational scholarship that we got from the LA 5 Rotary Club. We're really grateful for our partnerships with these various organizations that are super generous to our students. Even, you know, a little bit goes a long way, especially when it comes to college, everything counts. And these students were the ones who were a little bit unmotivated. Sophia on the right, she has her own little baking business, and she would bring her treats school and sell them at our events, and now she gets to go to Long Beach City College for culinary science, and she got a scholarship towards that. And when they go to community college, they already get a lot of financial aid, so this extra bit is just
got one as well for his barbering program. Ivory Thompson was our Manhattan Beach United Scholarship recipient. So we were really excited to celebrate her. She's, you know, a Black woman going into STEM, and she has been, she was a force on our campus all 4 years, and it was really special to have that moment with her. Bruce Greenspan is super generous and asks me to narrow down the recipients and then always gives the scholarship to all of them. And it's amazing because I really struggle to narrow it down. And usually, you know, and I try to be unbiased, which is, you know, not necessarily possible, but I try to utilize, like, you know, socioeconomic status and things like that to narrow it down, and I never want to, and he, you know, the past few years he's really come through. So it's never an expectation, but it's always super appreciated, and, you know, the students that applied and filled out that application and really invested in wanting their scholarship, they were able to receive it. That was valedictorian was Melanie Sanchez, and our salutatorian was Dominique Villalobos, and they were both in our College Match LA program. So last year, due to something on the end of College Match, they were only able to accept 4 students in their program, and so these 2 were part of the program, and then they were also best friends, so when they were giving their speeches, it was Melanie will be going to Berkeley. College Match encourages their students to pursue private school opportunities when they are able to get the financial assistance, and they just couldn't compete with the package that Berkeley offered. So she'll be going to Berkeley, and Dominique will be going to Long Beach, which is becoming more and more competitive every year. We had one student be accepted to UCLA 1 year and not Long Beach. So these are the various platforms and partnerships that we use along the way for our different programs. Like I said, College Match, we use Naviance as a platform to streamline the documents process. We have to get documents to colleges, and those are the barriers, right, that come into play for certain students. And so we try to make sure that we give them those resources and then also walk them through it, because that's not always enough to just have it. We take really a lot of advantage of our dual enrollment program with El Camino College, and we're very diligent about the financial aid applications, whether that's FAFSA or the California Dream Act application. More on that, we did 4 workshops in the month of October last year, and we've done that pretty consistently. During COVID, we did it virtually, so we've never not done our FAFSA workshops. We've just, you know, adjusted accordingly. And this year, FAFSA federally is changing a lot, so we're shifting those practices, but we're going to the conferences, we're getting all the new information, and, you know, they're giving us less and less time in between the acceptance and the financial aid when they have to make the decision. So we were able to have 74 individual family meetings in 1 month between myself, Jessica Ceballos, and Michelle Quinto, so just the 3 of us. It was a lot, and it was fully worth it to have the parents sitting there and, like, understanding what they're not only, like, agreeing to, but what's happening for their student moving forward, and have them be confident and also just be an active participant in the process. It makes a really big difference, especially if parents have misconceptions about the system that make them encourage their students to go one way versus the other. There's the misconception that community college is always less expensive. And the way that we do our financial aid applications, that's just not always the case for us. Our students will say, I don't want to burden my family, so I will go to community college. I love that. That's beautiful. Thank you for doing that. And you don't have to, because Dominguez Hills will pay your full tuition and then give you $5,000 per year on the side to sustain. So the money's there, but it doesn't come easily. And so everything that we do and the way that we're able to collaborate and be aligned and trust each other through the process allows us to do it. And in reality, the way that the college system is set up, every student should have these supports.
when it's time to apply, and that's just not the case. So it's really, I'm really grateful to be part of it. We do a lot of writing support as well, so for their personal statement, sometimes that makes a break. It's one of very few opportunities for them to humanize the application because the numbers and our students are so much more than that, and they can tell their stories. But if they don't have the writing support, they don't get read. And so they put the effort into the application. They put the time into the writing, but without the proper feedback and support, it just puts them at a disadvantage. So that's something that we would like to continue to improve. We've done an okay job, and we want to continue to be collaborative with like English teachers and college prep teachers to make sure that the scaffolding is there in college prep 9 and 12. We have a lot of students that we find in danger of not graduating at various points in their senior year. They're at risk of failing a class. They've already failed a class in one semester. They need credit recovery, or maybe they're missing a credit from a school that they transferred from. And so we're very careful, and we keep track, and we have interventions with counselors for students that every student crosses the finish line for the most part. We had only two out of our last class that didn't finish at the time. The SAT is no longer required at most public schools. Most institutions don't even have a place on the application for it anymore. However, it can still be an advantage in certain areas. So we used to require that everyone take it, and now because of the change in policies, it doesn't make sense for our students to go through that process if it won't directly benefit them. They theoretically don't have anything to lose, but if you've ever taken an SAT, it's a significant stressor. And so if we can avoid that for them to be able to put their energy towards themselves, that's
a minute.
Okay. Okay, I'm done. All right. So as I said before, we're working really hard to align the college prep department. Our teachers, our educators are amazing. We're trying to align the field trips so that we intentionally take them to places that are accessible to them. Since COVID, it's been trickier, but we're working to build that back up. We have a new rebranded alumni network that is now.
What was the leadership point on the last one?
We now have leadership as an elective during the day. So it used to be only an after-school club, and now we have it as an elective during the day. And our current seniors have really taken reins in this club, and they've already started. They have, like, weekly updates, posters everywhere. They have a blood drive coming up. They do fundraising for prom. And so it's a much more, structured environment for leadership. It's like our student council. It's where they all convene and participate in the committee. We're trying to upgrade that. I have a student from class of 2021 who I actually taught when she was in 10th grade and in 12th grade. So she's been a summer intern, and if you know Blanca, you know how amazing she is. She rebranded our alumni network, and to have it be run by an alumni is really something special too, because she knows what they want to hear. She knows how to connect with them way better than we do. So that's been awesome as well. Thank you for your time. Sorry if I...
You're perfect. You're amazing.
But, thank you.
So we want to open up for questions or appreciations now while Roxanne is still here.
I got to meet Roxanne during the meet and greet, and thought it was amazing. I love what you're doing. I love how your passion, your energy. She talked about how she initially and then coming back as her and how that really made her a better counselor.
Thank you.
Lucky
that was
happy.
A really fun opener.
Thank you for that.
I want to appreciate both Roxanne and Lucy. This last year, Lucy did not have an assistant principal of student culture, and she supported a smaller team to achieve what you're seeing here, and it's tremendous. Simultaneously, they had the best standardized test scores they've ever had in the history of UCS. Simultaneously, she has completely shifted the culture on the team and has made it a much more positive and wonderful place. And Roxanne has done, this is a smaller team than you guys normally see. Sometimes we have three people standing in front of us doing this presentation. So I just want to appreciate the fact that our outcomes have improved in a lot of ways. What she shared about like being more selective about the universities is really critical, because when we look at our student graduation rates from the UCs, some of them hit 80% mark, while the average low-income student of color has an 11% probability of graduating from college. At some of these UCs, they have an 80% likelihood, and our overall student population has a 60%, which is way better than the national average, but strategically at UCs and CSUs, they do better, and that's why it's been helpful. So super grateful for you guys. I also want to thank Denise, because Denise brought to us the Manhattan MB United team, who has been giving grants to our students 2 years in a row. And Bruce Greenspan, who's on our budget working group and the finance committee. Thank you. The finance committee. So those of you who've had the opportunity to sit with him in finance committee, he asks the best questions in the world. And the fact that he's going on to give our students scholarships in this way is just a tremendous gift, and just a shout out and appreciation to Bruce too. Any other questions or appreciation?
You guys did a great job at graduation, by the way. I know it's been some time past, but I was there. It was fun. It was well organized, and you guys. Thank you.
I'm a proud mama will be here. I told her I was going to record her, but speaking to what Farnasha said, it was a lot easier for me to step in as a principal, knowing that I had somebody really strong, trustworthy, strategic, and collaborative to lead the team. Thank you, Roxanne. Look at you.
Thank you. Thank you. JD, do you want me to share, or do you want to share? Okay, go for it. Sounds good.
Are we on to Danielle next?
I think so. That's what the agenda says.
That is what the agenda says. So I think we stick to the agenda.
All right, okay. So I am presenting on behalf of ECHS Lawndale. So same school, but we received money from the state to improve A through G programming and achievement at ECHS Lawndale in specific. So part of the grant requirements is that we present that plan to you and get your feedback or answer questions. Background information is here. This is a grant coming from the state, and it's designed to increase the number of students, particularly unduplicated students, who graduate from high school with A through G eligibility. These are some of the regs around the money. This is the funding that comes with this program. You can see it's a grant that's over time. It's not not just 1 year of funding. And this is what I'm going to be explaining to you. So take a minute to read this. So the way our program works at Lawndale and at ECS in general is all of our students who graduate meet A through G requirements. That's how our program was designed, and we're always looking to serve English learners, foster youth, low-income youth. You know the kids that we serve. But this grant, these grant dollars enable us, I think, differently for maybe some other schools that get this grant to say, okay, what more can we do? Or let's look at the few kids who struggle and how can we improve our program to meet their specific needs. So I'll tell you a little bit about what the high school has come up with. Oh, these are our LCAP goals, which you'll recognize. And the point of this slide is to say this grant funding has allowed us to do what we're already doing. Like this, sometimes you get money from the state that doesn't feel aligned with the work. This is very much what we want to be doing anyway. And it just gives us more options and more things to invest in. So here's a description of how we're doing it. And most of these actions fall into goal one, improving student outcomes and instruction, and goal two, developing a school culture that supports learning and is responsive to stakeholder feedback and ensuring organizational sustainability. So the first big action is improving instruction, teacher retention, and student attainment of A through G credits with added release time for department chairs of three departments, College Prep, ELA, and Math. In each department, there's a different focal point, and those are described in bullets A, B, and C. But the goal is really, how can we take the teachers who have been selected to be department chairs in these departments and utilize their expertise to improve teacher retention, either by developing curriculum, providing coaching, delivering direct interventions to at-risk students, or developing in math, developing common assessments. So utilizing the department chairs that we have and their expertise to make the work more sustainable and successful. Number two is improve instruction, teacher retention, and student attainment of A through G is by increasing the content expertise in science and environmental education. You know from looking at our budget that we hired this year a specialist in science part-time and last year promoted to Shonda to become our environmental education program lead. And this is very much aligned to improving A through G credits, attaining A through G credits for students. Some of the same stuff, curriculum adoption, especially in science, refinement and implementation, and then coaching for our department chair at Lawndale, as well as teachers who are new to the profession. We have a number of new to the profession teachers in both science and environmental education. Number three is improve A through G credits with added opportunities for credit recovery. Roxanne talked about it a little bit, Lucy and her team adopted new curriculum and increased opportunities for credit recovery over summer. So this is really targeting those kids that have struggled historically. How do we increase opportunities for them during the school year and over the summer to get the credits that they need? And then number four is improve student engagement and encourage credits with added emphasis on advisory, internships, and electives. You can read the specifics there, but the concept here is really that if we can focus on learning and academics, which are all those other things I just read are all about, but this is about how do we improve the engagement of students who maybe aren't being successful academically. Oftentimes that happens outside of the classroom. By improving the culture, by learning from our alumni who have been successful about what works for them, as well as from students who traditionally aren't successful. So you see the environmental pathway and green internships. We've looked at horticulture and how to meet the needs of kids who do well outside of the traditional walls of the classroom, and then increasing electives. Roxanne mentioned a little bit about that too. The remaining slides really are just prose describing what I just presented to you. So you can read that more, and I think it was in your packet. But yeah, I think that's about it. Any questions that I can answer about the A through G plan?
So I had a question. Mm-hmm. You know, you were saying that they're for credit recovery, that program. Have we been using that program? I thought we had like Avid or something.
Apex. Yeah. So, Lucy, you want to talk to this?
Yeah, we had Apex, but it wasn't as accessible. A harder time getting. Then we moved over to Agenuity, which was more expensive, offered more support. It was a more accessible path. And more classes too. Like we were able to offer chemistry, for example. We weren't able to do that with people. It increased the number of credit recovery opportunities.
And I think you also mentioned that the teacher of record has reported that it's easier to manage also and keep track of student progress and intervene when they're falling behind.
So is this a program that the teacher is tracking while they're doing it, or they're just on their own doing it?
They're tracking while they're doing it. Right now, it's an elective class for the school year, and they have Rodriguez is tracking. And during the summer, we have some coordinated families. We're at 20% today. They're supposed to be at 27%.
Before we jump to Dorothy, something slightly off agenda, but I wanted to do an appreciation of our principals who've been on campuses since bright and early this morning and have had very long days. And I just want to recognize your service. And Lucy was at back to school night last night, which was amazing.
It was fun.
It was a beautiful, beautiful night. But if you, I just want to publicly say, if all of you and Roxanne and also Dr. Wright, if you want to go home, I recognize you have little humans and stuff like that. I'm super grateful for your service, but just wanted to put it out there. I'm not trying to push you out. And then Dr. Wright stepped away, but I'm so sorry. I did want to just take a moment to introduce you all to Dr. Shalene Wright, who's our new Director of Special Education and English Learning Programs. She's been an incredible gift to our team, and we're so overwhelmingly grateful for her joining us, and also Sarah and Sajita for finding her. Just can't say enough, and at some point she'll be speaking to you all soon, but just wanted you to know who this wonderful human is. And with that, I think we can hand off to Dorothy. Thanks. Bye, guys.
Thank you. Have a good evening. Be safe. All right, Dorothy.
Yep. Hold on. Okay, so first we'll review the unaudited actuals, which is what we submit to the authorizers in August and what you last saw in June. And there are some slides in here about lease accounting that we went over in finance committee, and this is a long story, but it's been, I guess, also a roller coaster. And it was something that, you know, all entities have to follow. And then we were going back and forth with the auditors for at least, I don't know, this entire year on how to handle it. And then we finally heard back last week that we could handle it in a better way. However, we went forward with the conservative way, which is what you will see in the unaudited actuals and in the proposed budget. So just know, like, these slides, they mattered before, but now they're going to be reversed during the audit process. So, but you also see them in the numbers that we ended up reporting. Okay, so we'll go to Lawndale first. So Lawndale, overall, you know, they ended up moving up by 100,000. Some of this is we had more donations. The state revenue is up because of the SB 740 and with lottery, the lottery rate improved. And then with the local revenue, half of this is from interest revenue. We did have some higher expenses in utilities and substitutes. And then you see the 70,000 from the lease accounting. And a lot of this has to do with a non-cash adjustment. which will now go away, but that's how we ended up at this 102 operating income. I had these slides for finance committee so you could see how much the lease accounting was adding to the balance sheet, and that is these right of use and liabilities, right of use additions, but now it doesn't really matter, so I'm going to skip these. Okay, so now it's Gardena. We had some savings in compensation and benefits. This was mainly in certificated and in benefits. So in the forecast, we had the annual salaries, but in reality, there were less people because it was less because the people weren't there the entire time. And we also still had some open positions. And when you have the open positions and they're all in certificated, it was also including the STERS benefits, which is, you know, a good amount of extra money that the school didn't end up spending. So there were some savings in consultants. This is with mainly in special ed, and then in state revenue, similarly, it was with the facilities grant lottery. They also had some money with the hold harmless from the prior year. Their donations were expected to be slightly higher. Their lease accounting impact was a decrease in $180,000, which now goes away. And then we ended up moving a bunch of money from last year to this fiscal year because we had flexibility in how and when we want to use it. So that's where you see this decrease in ESSER-3. For Inglewood, their savings in, they had some savings in consultants, also with the health benefits. Their state revenue is very similar to the other two schools, savings in field trips, and the classified CMO staff. Their non-cash lease accounting was this extra 115 that will go away, and then this ESSER-3 money is money we're moving to this current fiscal year. For the high school in Gardena, their savings and services and other, it had to do with, we had expenses in there in the forecast that were going to get reimbursed through the financing. So the forecasted expenses were overstated. The compensation and benefits, this was mainly from the teachers and the health benefits. Donations was a little bit higher than what we had been projecting. Books and supply savings was from the furniture and computers. We did have a higher substitute expense. And then this lease accounting adjustment will go away, which is also good news because you can see how much it impacted the high school. So one of the things that we are looking at on the following slide is the fund balance. And, you know, at some of the, you know, the schools that have been open longer, it's a lot higher. And one of the reasons like why this is it's good to have, you know, this higher number, mainly because if there were ever a time for deferrals, which wasn't that long ago, the schools had, you know, 30% of their local control funding was deferred. And that is their main source of funding for all the schools. Also, I mean, every year is different, right? If you don't have the kids enrolled, and then what about ADA if there's, you know, a flu outbreak, COVID, and the, you know, the attendance rate isn't as high as it used to be. So there's, you know, we are seeing lower ADA at the schools. If there are donations that don't materialize, if it's really difficult with staff turnover to replace them and, you know, find the staff and quality staff that you want. Also, we aren't, you know, never wanting this, but if there are any big legal or special ed expenses that you can't plan for. More reasons why you would want a healthy fund balance is, you know, for initiatives that you want to invest in. Also, you know, whether that's like has to do with the program, like math or English, and also the facilities, not to mention facilities upkeep or things like the elevator breaks and, you know, you have to fix it. And, you know, that is expensive. So there's a lot on this slide, but so just to walk you through it. So each of these bars, it's the fund balance for each of the schools. And so one of the things, oh, sorry. Was there
something? Yeah, it was me just for 1 second. I want to call your attention to the slide because I think it's extremely important because it shows our reserves and what they mean to us and how we're planning to, in some cases, use them and how much of our budget they would cover in case of an emergency. So just calling attention to it as she talks it through. Sorry. Thanks, Dorothy.
Okay. So there's a bar for each school, and in total, this is like one, this entire bar is their fund balance. And then one of the things I thought was also added some context was I put the year that they opened down here, because obviously the longer they've been open, naturally they had more time to build up a fund balance. And with this, you can see with Lawndale, sure, their total is 6 million. But one of the things that was pointed out by LACO, you know, the authorizer of three of your schools, was that they would be subtracting out this net investment in CapEx, which is the total CapEx you have on your balance sheet from the total fund balance. So I put this in a different color because, you know, your authorizer will automatically be subtracting it from your total. Added a blue section for the 30% of LCFF. So if, you know, the deferrals happen like they did in 2009, you know, how much, you know, we have ready, and then what could we assume to be unrestricted? So one of the things here, so like there's the percentages on the right and then the dollar value on the left. So one of the things I think would be helpful to think about is that looking at the teal percentage, the one in the middle, like if the state stops sending money at any point, this is the percent the school could cover of that school's expenses for that year. So for Lawndale, that would mean, you know, if, you know, the state didn't send any more money, they could only pay out half of the expenses for the year. Is there anything else you wanted
to? Yeah, Dorothy, I'm going to talk about it for 1 second, too. So okay. This slide is really important. There's the section that's green on Lawndale has been raised over time. It's been fundraised through donors, but it's also been saved over these 20-some years with the intention of building the backspace of our campus. So we had always hoped to have a two-story building there, so that we would be able to have the appropriate number of classrooms for students, increase our AP offering. So that's always what we've been working towards and what we're continuing to work towards and hoping to bring. So that is the reason why that campus has the most significant reserve. But what's really important to know is that historically, when charter schools experienced deferrals many years ago, a lot of them had to take out loans with 14% interest rates. That really negatively impacted a lot of charter schools. Many were closed during that time. So when we look at these four schools, you can see that ECHS Gardena clearly does not have enough of a reserve in order to protect it in case of an emergency, but that's something that we're working towards over time. You can see that the two middle schools have enough when you take out CapEx for about 20 or 30% of the year, and that's kind of a good amount of buffer to protect us in an emergency. But also, you know that those two campuses are striving to, A, in Englewood, purchase the church building that we're in, and B, in Gardena, we need more facility space for that campus. It has the lowest student-to-space ratio of all the campuses. So those are the two things we think about. And then when we look at the reserves at Lawndale, it's built over the longest period of time. And when we did our budget working group sessions with staff, of our Lawndale staff, one of the top two priorities were increases for salaries and space, to address space. So that's what this is intended to do over time. So just wanted to give context to reserves and how we've approached them and why this slide is helpful. Sorry, Dorothy.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so moving to this fiscal year, a quick recap on what was actually got approved. So COLA stayed at the 8.22% in these two one-time state grants. So this is the Arts, Music, Instructional Materials Discretionary Block Grant and the Learning Recovery Block Grant. They didn't end up getting cut as much as was originally proposed, which is good news. And then there was some other news on the Expanded Learning Program, which the middle schools run because of they offer sixth grade. And then, of course, the charter renewal news, which was positive that all the charters get one more year to work on their renewals. So with the one-time state funds, you can see, you know, the teal is what was originally approved in the state budget a year ago, and then what they ended up approving for this year. So it ended up getting, you know, we're getting almost all of the arts and music money, but only 80% of the learning recovery money. So what that means here for each of the schools is that for Lawndale, it's, you know, there it's $200,000 less. For the new high school, it's about 50. And then for both middle schools, it's about $150,000 less each. Okay, so now we'll talk about the changes we've made since the board approved the budget in June. So for Lawndale, the lottery, was there something? Anything? Okay. No. Okay. So there were some rate changes with lottery and special ed, which are positive for the school. Slight savings in the software expense. And then this big increase in the services and other expense. Most of this is because of the lease accounting, which would end up getting corrected later this year. The middle school in Gardena, you can see here, we're adding that ESSER money we took out from last year to spend this year. And then putting in some of that music or the arts and music one-time state money. Within compensation and benefits, we've added some staffing in the classified area, as well as extra expenses in health and welfare. There was an adjustment at the remaining three schools, where you'll see we'll have this like big revenue drop because of an ADA adjustment. And this was adjusting the attendance rate. So we adjusted it down to 93% because COVID, the kids are getting sick again. So that is just to be mindful of that. And then this decrease in operating income is most of this is non-cash related to the lease accounting, which will go away. But then we did add expenses for consultants.
I just want to take a moment on the benefits impact. You'll see it on the next few slides as well. Just a reminder that this year we made Kaiser health insurance free for all employees, employees and spouse, employees and children. And that was like a very significant improvement in our benefits offering. It became clear that our staff really wanted Kaiser more than they wanted it on the other HMO. And so there is some cost increase due to that, and you'll see it on the next slide.
For Inglewood, they also, the extra money that we didn't use last year, the comp and benefits, we had some savings in the certificated staffing. But we did add classified staff, and we also added to health and welfare expense. But you can't really see it that way because it nets across all those categories. They also adjusted their attendance percentage. So that was their drop in their revenue. This services and other, most of this is the lease accounting. And then because of the one-time and then we ended up moving the one-time state money to a future year because we were able to utilize the federal money for this year. And then for the high school, We have some savings in the comp and benefits. This is savings in the certificated, you know, offset by some higher expenses in classified. We are adding some of that to use that one-time state money. And then we have a little bit of ESSER 3 left, the federal money. Most of the services and other operating is the non-cash. And then their adjustment to ADA is about $140,000 in revenue. Looking at cash, all the three older schools, they're fine. And because the high school is adding a new grade, that's why their cash looks, you know, like this, because they have all this extra staff. They had to buy all these extra supplies for the new kids. And then the state doesn't give the money until October. So that's why it goes down and then it goes back up. But of course, this is something that does get watched so that, you know, there is no issue with not having enough cash on hand. Are there any questions?
I know that we lowered our ADA because of what we saw was a concern from last year, but with the efforts that we're putting in this year, if we are able to get higher ADA, will that have a, like, what impact would that have on the budget?
That'll have a positive impact.
So right now we've budgeted at your site $120,000 or something less in revenue based on a projection that possibly we won't be able to hit the 95-97% ADA mark. So if we are able to bring that $120,000 back, we can strategically use it and in our next budget adjustment, bring it back and say what we needed to add in order to be able to serve our students. Because we've had an amazing 2 weeks at Inglewood, and hopefully we'll be able to retain the 96%, 97. Amazing.
Awesome, yeah. So one of the things that, Jeremiah, could you share the doc that I created in response to Bruce's question? I just wanted to, like, appreciate Bruce for his amazing questions that he asks in our budget work, in our finance committee meeting. And the question that he asked is, you know, where you're losing about $300,000 based on enrollment and ADA, but at the same time, you're not investing that much in your staff retention efforts, and like in student recruitment and student retention efforts. And so we did spend a good amount of time in our finance committee working on this and talking about it, and that a lot of what caused the ADA last year to drop as much as it did, I want to point out that we did a lot better than a lot of the charter schools and district schools adjacent to us, was that when kids went out, they stayed out, they thought they had COVID, they, you know, back in the day, you'd give them a little bit of Sudafed, send them to school. We didn't do that anymore. So that's a big piece of it. Another part of it is that when the pandemic was underway and when ECHS Gardena was being physically built, we didn't fill up our classes as much as we project to over time. And so our enrollment numbers are lower, not because we didn't have the students to enroll at the time, but because we had much less space and we were trying to figure out how to make our, so one of the things that you'll see is over time, ECHS Gardena will become more financially sustainable as the class size expands because we're using the full campus. But if you scroll down a little, you'll see that we have done a lot in order to improve our enrollment and ADA efforts. We have a home office operations and compliance coordinator, Monse Garcia, who's sitting there, who's done a really tremendous job of coordinating all of the family liaisons and improving our outreach efforts across all four sites. We have parent liaisons at all sites. That's a relatively new position for us, and that's both been improving parent engagement, but it's also been helping us in our recruitment efforts. And office managers also do spend a good portion of their time supporting enrollment and recruitment. And then as you scroll down, you'll see all of the other efforts that we put into place to support our recruitment efforts. And it's something that I'd say a good portion of Jeremiah and my time goes to thinking about and strategically engaging with the principals about. It's something that all of the principals care deeply about. So you know, we are coming through this pandemic and have not had the number of students apply to our schools as we've had in the past. I'm really proud to say that both of the middle schools are fully enrolled. The high schools, because of the pandemic and some transition in the 11th and 12th grade at 10th and 11th grade at Lawndale, and all grades at Gardena are slightly below enrollment. We're optimistic that in the next few years we're going to be able to use these strategies to continue to, and then recoup the $300,000 lost because of it. So I just want to show that to you. Thanks, Jeremiah. Any questions about the budget or about our strategies or anything that you guys want to talk about?
I have a question about the enrollment at the new high school. So we are not reaching the numbers that we want because of space, or we're not getting enough applicants?
We do have wait lists at that school, and we do it at Lawndale as well. The wait list is not as big as it's been historically, but we do have a wait list. The space limitations for 9th grade and 10th grade last year when we were struggling with the space issues and the construction led us to start out the class with a smaller number of students. And recruitment of teachers led us to decide to have 6 periods instead of having 7 periods, which would have let us have more classes with fewer students. And so it got to the point that we decided to like stop recruiting past this point because we don't want to go far above the 31, 32 students per classroom, because that's going against one of our best practices if they get much larger than that. Kennedy, I see your hand.
Yes, I had a question around the Extended Learning Opportunity Grant, the ELOP. What, and the LERBG, what programs have that, those monies funded?
I want to do a significant shout out of Danielle Kelsick, Jeremiah David, Jen Fenton, and Tashonda Giles-Jones. They did an amazing job of developing a really beautiful summer program this year for our 6th graders, and I'll let Danielle speak about the details, but a significant appreciation.
Yeah, thank you. We hosted an Extended Learning Opportunities program at both middle schools. We called it Camp ECMS this summer, and it was building off of work that we've done in past years, but with that grant money, we were able to significantly expand it. It consisted, well, the grant requires 9-hour days, 30 extra 9-hour days. So we had a lot of time to offer programming for our students. Long days. But what that looked like was we basically, our approach was partnering with local community-based organizations that align with our mission. So we brought in an organization called Get Lit, who did spoken word with our kids, and they learned about poetry and wrote some of their own original poetry, recited it at the end of the 4-week program. We worked with an organization called College Bound for Kids, who brought to us STEAM programming, where the kids were doing robotics and music engineering and other learning about ratios and proportions. I shouldn't leave that part out. Charity would be angry with me if I did. And then they also had fitness every day. They had a choice between participating in capoeira or African drum and dance. And then on Fridays, they went on adventures that were coordinated by Tashonda. We partnered with an organization called, I forget the surfing.
SoFly.
Thank you. SoFly Surfing. They went to Manhattan Beach and learned to surf. And they went to Irvine they went to like a farm and Tanaka Farm, you know that one, and to Irvine Regional Park. So they did basically, it was a summer camp, but you know, not an overnight camp. And then we also sent some kids to Camp Bob Waldorf, which we have a partnership, and we've been nurturing that. So basically we put together a program that I think was really fun for our kids. We are studying the effects of that program now, in a couple of weeks, and maybe at a future board meeting, I can tell you we're going to be following the kids who participated in the summer, and we are really curious about what that impact that had on their attendance, their grades, their standardized test scores, et cetera. And am I forgetting something?
No.
How many students was that open to?
It was open to all sixth graders. That's what the grant requires.
And
we prioritize enrollment of students with exceptionalities. And that was one of the, like, anecdotal comments that was made to us most often is that teachers who worked with those kids during the school year reported that the kids had more confidence and joy at school than they normally saw them. Like, one person said, I never saw some of these kids' faces until now because they wore masks every day, all day. And in Camp ECMS, they took off their masks for the first time. If you know middle school kids, that means something.
sat with me at the lunch table and asked me, like, how are you doing? What is your birthing plan? When are you leaving? All these things. Who did not speak. This student would literally just say, I was like, how are you? She was like, I am fine, how are you? And that was the extent of our conversation the last 2 years. And we all contributed to the summer camp of her feeling comfortable being in a smaller space, in a smaller environment, her now wearing her mask off sitting next to the principal during lunchtime and having a full-fledged conversation and telling me, have a great leave, I can't see you back. But it went on for 12 minutes. And so something that we would want to see larger numbers, but sometimes the smaller numbers, what that had an impact. I had to, like, tell all of her teachers, all her case managers, because I felt like that was such a growth.
Yeah. Part of why we're looking at the impact is we want to be able to publicize that and improve recruitment this summer because it's a huge grant, and we got to, like, we turned most of that money over to the kids and through the programming, so we definitely want to have more kids participate, and I think the best word of mouth out of middle school is from the kids themselves, to their parents especially, but to each other as well.
So can I follow up on that? So for me, what I'm always just astounded with ECS is that not only is everybody extremely passionate, but the creativity that the staff and the admin have at ECS is unparalleled to other. I mean, the way that you can take those funds and put them to use for your students. So it sounds to me, I mean, you gave evidence in terms of undoing some of that regression, in academic outcome for the students, but also the socio-emotional. I mean, the students themselves were given testimony to how much better they felt. Given all that, are you able, because it was a lot of money, but do you know if they're going to continue that? Are you guys going to be able to continue that program when the ELUP goes away? We know if they're going to reissue some of that money next year? I know there's some talks, but there was no definitive answers, you guys know.
The way the state has been talking about this is that this is a forever investment. The intention of it is for us to provide childcare. So if we were a K through 5 school, we would be required to offer 30 extra 9-hour days to all students. It only goes until the 6th grade, and that's why we even get this funding, and we can offer it to our 6th graders. Their perception is that they're small enough, that they need childcare during the summer, winter, spring, and they're hoping that the schools can step in to support the kids' needs and support the parents, but also help to, you know, bridge some of the learning gaps that have occurred.
Yeah, and our strategy in designing the program, Kennedy, was to partner with organizations rather than to ask our teachers to work over the summer because we didn't think that fit with the feedback we're getting about sustainability.
Right.
And so the answer to your question is, can we keep doing this? As long as there's the funding, yes, but also we are hoping to, like, deepen those partnerships. So there's talk of bringing, like, the African drum and dance or capoeira into a Saturday program. And so even if the funding goes away, I hope that we're going to be able to maintain those connections. Tashanda wants us to bring staff to the beach and go surfing as a professional development. So, you know, ECS loves partnerships. And these are really good mission-aligned ones, which isn't always the case. So we definitely want to maintain the relationships. And I do hope we can keep doing the program as long as there's money for it. If the money, you know, if there's less money, we can still do a version of that program too. It's expensive to take kids surfing and drum and dancing and all that.
Jen wanted to add something.
I wanted to add one thing. Kennedy, you touched upon it, and it's this notion of engagement leading to academic achievement. In addition to our sixth graders, we also put a focus on students with exceptionalities. And at ECMSG, there were a couple instances where these kiddos who normally did not interact. We had a student who was normally very shy, never played on the playground, never played with any of the other kids. And I asked one of his teachers during the summer program who was helping, because we had a special education coordinator and some paras. I said, "How's it going?" And she said, see that student right there? And he was on the playground. He was playing with kids. He never does this during the year. And he was laughing, and he was having fun, and he was there every single day. And that is just a beautiful thing. And we hope to continue this. We hope to grow it. It is a lot on the sites. It's a lot on the staff, but it is so worth it when you hear stories like that.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry,
did you
say what the percentage was of people who decided to participate?
I don't know if we know that.
70 students would be about, if you said 25, 30 from each site, and there's 125 sixth graders mm-hmm. coming in. What percentage is that? 30-some percent?
25%.
Yeah.
I love being a part of this Camp ECMS for the first time. With that said, we
Wrong
have
time.
A full session coming up.
Yes.
Thank you. Also waiting for us, so.
Yeah. Thank you. If you guys have questions later, feel free. This is some of the best stuff.
Council?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good
second.
Good
on the clock. So
let's jump
into.
Yes. Are we going to discuss?
This is just an announcement that the EU submitted the Sunshine Proposal that was linked in. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you guys had a chance to review it. Our council is coming to provide some answer questions you may have, and we have it on the agenda for that reason. So, with that, we can move to the next one.
Yes. So, we have an action item. And that action item is to designate the labor representative, Robert Escalante. Most of you, if you've been in our meetings, have had a chance to meet him and participate in engagement with him. And so I ask that we have a motion to designate Robert Escalante as our labor representative.
I so move, Betsy.
Betsy, thank you. Do I have a second?
Zena.
Thank you, Zena. Denise? Betsy?
Aye.
Dina?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
Herb?
Aye.
Nina?
Nina?
Aye, sorry.
That's okay. And Anthony, aye. Robert Escalante has been designated as our labor representative. Congratulations, Robert. Now we will move to consent items A through I. In case those who have not been here before, we will approve all of them at one time. We'll get a motion, we'll have any discussion, and then we will move to approve. So do I have a motion to approve consent items A through I?
I move to approve consent items A through I. Betsy.
Thank you, Betsy. Do I have a second? Thank you, Denise. All right. Then we'll open it up for any discussions. I don't know if Jeremiah or Bernard wants to discuss anything regarding any of these or any questions.
Most of these
comments.
Are very standard annual contracts that we review and approve each year. So for the sake of time, we can go ahead. If you're comfortable with that, but if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Okay. Denise?
Aye.
Betsy?
Aye.
Zena?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
Herb.
Aye.
Janina.
Aye.
Anthony, consent items A through I have been approved. We move to...
we approve the budget?
Yes. Yep. It's getting there. Yes. Sorry. Okay. We have an action item to approve revised budgets for all sites as recommended by the Finance Committee. Any conversations, discussions, comments, questions, concerns regarding the revised budget? Anything you want to add?
We went over them with Dorothy and highlighted some of our efforts. But...
Okay, do I have a motion to approve action item A?
Motion to approve action item A, Zena.
Thank you, Zena. Second.
Second, Beth.
Thank you, Denise. Denise.
Aye.
Betsy.
Aye.
Zena.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Herb.
Aye.
Janina.
Aye.
Anthony, aye. Action item A, approving the revised budget has been approved. Approving has been approved. That's a good way of saying it. Okay, we will move to upcoming dates and announcements.
Just mark your calendars for November 30th for the next board meeting. It will be in person and here. And also just to recognize, we're going to have a governance committee that's going to focus on adding an additional board member. Andrew Ellenbogen will be joining, who has a background in governance in a charter school setting. You guys have seen him in our meeting several times. And then audit committee and finance committee. So if you serve on these committees, please mark your calendars. And with that, we can go into appreciation.
Great. We open it up to the group for appreciations.
I just always love hearing from the college counselors, and there's so many linchpins in this organization, but is certainly one of them, and just to see that, you know, mission come alive is really impactful.
I want to appreciate the whole crew who put together the summer program that I didn't know existed, and
I didn't know either.
Yeah. Yeah. I was kind of embarrassed that I didn't know, but I'm so impressed with that, like that how, you know, we're looking for creative ways to reach out to our students, see where it goes.
I like to appreciate Dorothy because she does such an amazing job at with the numbers in terms of telling us a story that could be complex and complicated and hard to understand. She makes it really easy to understand and actually exciting.
Thank Making you. Exciting. But I couldn't do it without Tracy and her team.
Thanks, Dorothy.
I know Bruce isn't here, but I want to appreciate Bruce because I wasn't aware that even though one person is nominated, he ends up funding others, so that's a pretty cool thing, and if anyone sees him, know that he's been appreciated, and let him know. I'm going to call him to let him know.
I appreciate all the dedication of all the leaders that I see at meetings and at other meetings, and I hope this year to get into schools more. I failed at that last year, and I have that as a goal.
Here. Call me. Let's do it.
I want to appreciate both the board for being here and also our amazing team of leaders. I don't think we've had such a strong set of leaders ever in these 5 years. It's just such a gift to get to work with them. That includes everyone at the home office team, Monse, you too. It's an awesome group of human beings who are working really hard towards our mission, and I also want to appreciate Betsy, who joined our cabinet meeting on Wednesday to provide some wisdom and guidance to our whole team. So thank you, Betsy. So with that.
All right. I think we need to vote on adjourning to closed session. Do I have a motion to adjourn to closed session?
Motion.
Denise, thank you. Do I have a second?
Zena.
Thank you, Zena. Denise.
Aye.
Betsy.
Aye.
Zena.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Herb.
Aye.
Nina.
Aye.
Anthony, aye. We have voted to adjourn to closed session. For those of you who will not be participating, please feel free to exit and be safe. And thank you for your participation.
Thank you all. Thank you for being here.
Ready? Record. All right. We are reporting out of closed session, and there is nothing to report. So with that, I move to adjourn the meeting. Do I have a second motion?
Yes.
Okay. Be Denise.
Aye.
Aye, Denise. Betsy.
Aye.
Nina.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Herb. Okay. Nina.
Aye.
Anthony, aye. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you all for being here.
Appreciate your time, effort, and be safe.